This is Revive Chicago. Listen and be changed. All right. Well, we'll get started on the message this morning. And I'd like you to turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 4. And what I want to talk to you about today kind of has two points. And so we'll hit a couple different scriptures. It was weird. The Lord might even have me give you three. Can you imagine? I might be going to three different spots today instead of just mining one. So this first one is in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And I think this passage is really, really important for our Christian walk to remind us of our enemy and our position before God. Because a lot of times I think we get caught up focused on the enemy, focused on what he's doing, focused on maybe his influence in our lives or something like that. And our focus should be on our position before God. Submit to God. Okay? So that's the first step. And I think in Christianity, we can get caught up in ideas about what the enemy's doing and where he is and how much he's speaking or influencing. But really, all you got to do as a Christian, as a believer, is what? Resist. That's all it takes. Resist. And then what does he do? Let's get a little conversation going. Make sure everybody stays awake today. What does he do when you resist? He flees. He doesn't have fleas. He just flees. You can call him a dog, I guess. I don't know. But when you submit to God, there's two steps to this process. You submit yourself to God, right? And then resist the devil. And so much of the time we get our focus on the enemy and what he's doing, and we want to blame the devil for things, when all we're supposed to do is resist him. And if you resist him, what does he do again? He flees. He leaves. He's gone. Okay? And in the Christian walk, this concept is extremely powerful. Because if we focus on the enemy, and we think he just kind of sticks around and hangs around, he's always there, he's always influencing, then you have an out-of-balance view of who he is and what he does. As Christians, we're supposed to move beyond just having to do this all the time. Having to cast him out all the time. Having to fight him all the time. Most of the time, we're not actually fighting the devil. We're fighting ourselves, and we're fighting this idea of submission to God. That's really what we're doing. We want to blame things on the devil that are actually to do more with our lack of submission to God and our realization of that position before him. And so that we get caught up, and we're trying to drive out things that are actually there because we're not submitted. They're actually there because we haven't resisted. But this is actually the easy part. The enemy has been disarmed. He's been defanged. You can't give him so much position and power in your life. And we're so busy trying to cast out the devil when we're actually trying to cast out the flesh. And you can't cast out your flesh. Can't do it. You can try, but you can't cast out the flesh. We need to make sure that we've got priorities straight and our eyes straight and that we're submitted to our King. Because if we are submitted to him and we've got our eyes on him, naturally the easy thing is then to just resist and watch the enemy flee. And the next verse I want to turn to is in Galatians. You can go to Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16. And Paul's talking to the Galatian church. And he says, so I say this, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature does what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Listen to these lines. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice that none of those things are called a demon. Those things are called works of the flesh. Those things are called the acts of the sinful nature. You can't cast those out. You have to submit those to God. You have to submit those to God. You have to walk and live by the Spirit. That should be our focus. Our focus should be to walk in step with the Spirit. But if we're trying to cast out the flesh, you're going to end up frustrated. You're going to end up thinking you're a victim of something that you're not. And it's going to become this mind game, and you want to blame something else. You want to almost blame this other thing, this other creature, this other being, this other demonic influence on your bad behavior. And Scripture says that's not the case. Scripture says that these are the acts of your sinful nature. So you either walk according to your flesh, you walk according to your sinful nature, or you walk according to the Spirit of God. And His ways, His truth. That's a big deal. Live by the Spirit, what does it say? And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. This is something that you've got to admit to yourselves. We won't name through every single one of these. But some of these are just simple things like hatred, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. That's crazy. Like Paul said, those who live like this won't inherit the kingdom. That's heavy. If you've got hatred in your heart, that can prevent you from inheriting the kingdom. And we want to just kind of put it on the preacher, the minister, the man of God, and say, can you just cast out this hatred from me? That'd be a quick, easy fix, wouldn't it? But Paul says that these are the desires of our sinful nature. That's what they're rooted in. That's where they come from. That's what's really going on. And like I said a few minutes ago, you can't cast out the flesh. The only way that you can do it is to submit it to God. You have to submit it to God. You have to lay it down. And then Paul goes on and he says, this is kind of that famous passage, right? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and its desires. He doesn't say with its demons and devils. The sinful nature has passions and desires. And you have to submit those to God and walk according to the Spirit. That's the way it works. That's what needs to happen in the kingdom. In verse 25, since then we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so this message today is a bit about that. What does it look like to resist the devil, watch him flee, and then what do you need to do? You need to stay in step with the Spirit. You need to just, if you're in step with the Spirit, the enemy's not there. It's kind of like, picture heaven's throne room right now. Is there a little devil with horns and a pitchfork yelling and screaming? And no, like he's been cast out of heaven. He's not there. Also, that's not what the devil looks like. I'm just using the caricature we're all familiar with, right? Scripture actually says he's like an angel of light. So that's another whole thing. But in heaven, the devil's not there. Why? He was resisted. He's cast out. He's gone. And what is God? Does God have to keep casting him out every day? Mm-mm. God doesn't have to keep casting him out every day. Let us live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. This is something that we have to do. We have to purpose to do. We have to crucify our flesh, our sinful passions, our sinful desires. That means you don't always get your way. You don't always get what you want. The things that you think that you need, right? You have to submit those to God. And when your flesh boils over, what do you have to do? Crucify it. It doesn't get to have its way. You don't get to blame something else. You have to look at yourself, take responsibility for who you are, for your actions, and say, no, this is not who I'm going to be. This is not how I'm going to walk. I need to walk in step with the Spirit of God. I need to stay on His path. I need to stay connected with Him. I need to submit to Him. We can't give the enemy so much power. All it takes is a little bit of resistance. And what we really need to battle is the sinful nature, the sinful desires that pop up. All of the things that Paul named on this list, these are things that can crop up and trip you up if you let it. If you let them stay in your life, they will take root, they will fester, and they will grow, and they will take over. And pretty soon, uncontrollable anger, uncontrollable jealousy, uncontrollable fits of rage, selfish ambition, all of these things sneak into your life and then start to flower and take over. But it's the result of our sinful nature. It's the result of something that was supposed to be crucified with Christ. Our new, we're supposed to have new identity in Him. We're supposed to be in Him, walking in Him, abiding in Him, changed and transformed into His likeness. But so much of the time in Christianity, we give ourselves excuses to walk how we want, talk how we want. And then we want to blame something else and say it wasn't me. The only way to truly conquer this is to realize what's inside and crucify it, just like the scripture says. The only way to defeat it and to overcome it is to submit ourselves to God and keep in step with the Spirit of God. Because if we keep trying to just cast out the flesh, you're going to go nowhere fast. You're not going to grow. You're going to get a victim mentality. And you're going to blame something else that's not you. And then you're not an overcomer. God made you to be an overcomer. God made you to conquer even your sinful desires. Even the things that pop up inside of you, that we don't want to look at, that we want to avoid. The thoughts, the fears, the impurity, the sexual immorality, all the things on this list. We hate to admit that it's there. We don't want to look inward. We want to look outward. We want to blame something else. We want to blame some other force. And God is saying, nope. These are the results of your own sinful desires. And you haven't been battling your sinful desires. You haven't been trying to walk in step with the Spirit. I'm telling you, friends, this is the way that you overcome. This is the way that you actually bear the fruit of the Spirit. This is the way you actually bear the fruit of the Spirit, is by walking in step with the Spirit of God. That's what it looks like. The things that we actually want in our life, love. A lot of times we're trying to do it on our own. We're trying to love people on our own. The best way for you to love other people is through the Spirit of God. Because you're going to come to the end of your love real quick. You've all seen it. I see it in myself. I come to the end of my love real quick. I need the Spirit of God. If I'm going to be the pastor that you all need, it's got to be by the Spirit of God, because I'm going to come to the end of my love real quick. The only way that I'm going to be a good pastor for you is if I'm allowing the Spirit of God to love you through me. You don't want a pastor that's just loving in their own strength, that's full of joy in their own strength, that's full of patience in their own strength. How many of you know patience runs off real quick? It's like, I could use a little fruit of the Spirit in that area. You know? Like, how about, okay, Lord, how do I let your patience flow through me? What does that look like? What does that look like to be in step with the Spirit of God? Have you ever noticed that when you're walking along with someone, and you don't even have to be holding hands. It's especially interesting when you're not holding hands. And you're walking on with someone, and you naturally fall in step with them. And you just kind of, you're not really thinking about it, but somehow you're keeping pace. And I happen to be tall, and sometimes when I'm walking by someone short, this still happens. I don't know how. Like, we'll just be walking along, and I must be, like, slowing down my pace just enough, and they must be speeding up their pace just enough, but somehow we're walking along and talking. We're now holding hands. We're just talking, two friends. And suddenly you find yourself in step. I want you to picture yourself with the Holy Spirit like that, where you're in step with Him. And you're kind of aware of it, but it's so close, it's so natural, that you're also sort of not aware with it. It just kind of happens. But much of the time, what we do in our walk with God, in our walk with the Spirit of God, is we're way off ahead, off on our own. Some of you have experienced that. You're walking with someone, and then all of a sudden they're like 10 paces ahead. You're like, what are you doing? We were walking together just fine. Where are you going? I thought the point of this was to walk together. And we're running ahead of God, and we say we're in the Spirit. We say we're walking along with the Spirit, and we're actually ahead. We're out on our own. We're doing our own thing. And you need to be aware, not just on Sunday morning. Maybe Sunday morning's kind of that, like, realignment time. And you realize, I'm off. Maybe you're lagging behind. Maybe you're not. Maybe some of you are, like, overachievers, and you're, like, running way ahead of the Spirit. And some of you are lagging behind. And the Spirit of God's up here, and you're, like, 8 paces back. Sunday morning's that realignment time, where you realize where you got off, where you got out of balance, and you get back in step with the Spirit. But then you can practice that on your own on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. You can practice staying, walking in step with the Spirit of God, where you're close and you're aware that He's near and you can hear His voice. It's just right in your ear. It's a lot easier to have a conversation with someone who's walking beside you. Have you ever tried having a conversation with that person that's 10 steps ahead? It doesn't work very well. What? What? It just doesn't work. You can't have a conversation. You're out of step. And you can still hear, kinda. But you have to strain a lot more You have to almost like pick yourself, like you're starting to pick up the pace a little bit, like, what was that? And you're like running ahead, trying to catch up. But what if we walk in step with the Spirit of God to hear His voice all week long and listen to Him and what He's saying? Reminding ourselves that no, when that sinful nature, when that sinful attitude, when that sinful behavior crops up, you actually remind yourself, no, I put that to death. I crucified that. It's dead. But we've got this weird, like, zombie Christianity that allows old things, old natures, old attitudes to pop up and come out of nowhere. That's not the Spirit. That's not the Spirit. That's not the attitude that is in Christ Jesus. There's another verse that talks about that. Let that same attitude of Christ be also in you. That's how we're supposed to live. But instead of resurrecting the way that Scripture talks about resurrection, we're like resurrecting this old man, this old sinful nature, and letting him have a say. Letting it control our thoughts, letting it control our attitudes. And today's message is to remind you, no, that thing's dead. That's in the past. You crucified that with Christ. You laid that down on the altar. That's not who you are anymore. It's time to walk in step with the Spirit of God. And if you feel any battle, remember this line, right? The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. How do you know if you got out of step? If you're starting to feel that tension in that battle. It's not a battle with the enemy. It's a battle with yourself. It's a battle with what's going on in your heart. Suddenly your desires are in conflict with what the Spirit desires. And you can either choose to submit to what the Spirit desires, or you can push to get your own way. And the Holy Spirit is interesting because He doesn't control. Sometimes that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Like, God, just make me obey You. Just make me do what You say. But then we'd just be robots. Right? It'd be nice if the Spirit of God could just control us and move us and put us where He wants us to go. Say what you want me to say. Like, we just, you know, it'd be nice if we always said the right thing. It's not that easy. You actually have to die to yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. That's tough. Let's be honest. This is not the most seeker-friendly message. Like, hey, welcome to Christianity. You got to die. That's like totally how you win friends and influence people, isn't it? But you know what? If we're honest with ourselves too, like you're not looking for the easy way. You don't want an easy religion. You don't want an easy path that just anybody can do. And this is going to be a tough path. Putting your old ways down, your old sinful desires down, and submitting them to Christ, that's tough. Muhammad Ali is quoted as saying he tried Christianity, but it was too easy. And that's why he converted to Islam. Like, I don't think you tried the real Christianity. But we've got kind of a pop Christianity going on in America, right? You go into church, it's easy. Like, if you want to be a Christian in today's world, all you got to do is show up on Sunday for an hour, right? Sing a couple songs, pray a couple prayers. Good. But that's not real Christianity. Real Christianity is this. Real Christianity is dying to yourself. Real Christianity lays down His life to walk in step with the Spirit of God. Realizing I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own strength. And the more I try to do it on my own strength, what happens? I'm just inviting, like, the flesh can't help the flesh be more spiritual. If you could pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you would have. But you can't. You need the Spirit of God. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. We all know what they are. Gosh, some of you, before you even got saved, you knew what they were. You weren't even a real believer yet, and you knew what the acts of sinful nature were. In yourself, and definitely in other people. Everyone's got an opinion on the sinful natures in other people. But we must be different. We've got to go with what the Word says. What does the Word say about this? And we're so busy trying to resist the devil that we forgot we need to resist ourselves. You need to cease and desist your sinful nature. You need to remind yourself that that's dead and gone. All right, now my third passage. I'm going to three different scriptures today. This is crazy. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Go to Acts chapter 7. We'll start in verse 47. And this passage is probably be a really good one for you guys to go back and read, because Stephen gives a really succinct history of the people of Israel up until this moment. And he goes through Abraham and Moses and all of the and David and Solomon. And he gets to this spot in verse 47. He says, "But it was Solomon who built God's house for him. However, the Most High does not live in houses made by men. As the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool.' What kind of house will you build for me? Or where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all of these things?" You read this and you're like, I thought we were talking about resisting the devil. I thought we were talking about dying to ourselves. I'll get there. God does not live in houses built by men or buildings built by men. When we pray for God to come and fill this place, what we're talking about the room, kind of, but we're mostly talking about us, the people of God. You now are the dwelling place for the Lord. God wants to dwell in you. Scripture says that it is now Christ in you, the hope of glory. You are a dwelling place for God. And so when I'm talking about staying in step with the Spirit, you've got to remind yourself that you are a walking, talking temple. You are a house for God's glory. That's a really amazing thing to think about. You are a temple for God. It's not built by men. God says, "Heaven's my throne, earth is my footstool." Right? Like, he's like, "Where's the house you're going to build for me?" Like, we can't contain God. And yet he says, "I want to come and dwell in you, my people." But I want you to catch this next line, because this has happened all throughout the history of God's people. Stephen says, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit." it's heavy. We're so busy trying to resist the devil, and we realize we've forgotten we're actually stuck in a rut. We've actually taken on the role of, just like the Christians who've gone on before us, just like the people who say they believe in God, the people who claim God as their Father, they actually have become stubborn and they're resisting the Holy Spirit while saying that they're resisting the devil. That's heavy. Because we say that we serve God. We say that we're here to build a church. We say that we're here to invite him in. And then what do we do when he comes close, when he comes near? We actually resist him. We're so busy resisting all the time, everything, anything, that we don't realize we're actually also resisting the Spirit of God. We've put up walls against the Spirit of God. We've gotten the fight mixed up. And so instead of battling the devil and resisting the devil, we're actually battling God and his Spirit of God that is wanting to change us, wanting to transform us, wanting to keep us in step with him. And we resist. We put up defenses to the Spirit of God. And this is a pattern. You guys aren't the first ones to hear this message. This was a message 2,000 years ago to the people of God. This isn't a message that I go out on the street corner and preach at the bad people out there. This is a message that you preach to the people of God who don't realize that their hearts have gotten hard, their eyes are focused on the wrong thing, and they're resisting the wrong thing. The Spirit of God wants to move. The Spirit of God wants to flow, and we're too busy resisting. We've got walls up. We've got barriers up, and we won't let God move. We won't let God have his way. We say we want it, but then when the moment comes for the breath of God to breathe on you, you wall up. You get religious. You worry it might be the devil. You're actually resisting him. It's backwards for what Christianity is supposed to be, what it's supposed to do, right? Like, we're supposed to resist the devil, but all week long, we don't resist the devil. We don't resist our sinful desires. We just do whatever we want, say whatever we want, and then we come into the house of God and we resist the Holy Spirit. That's backwards. If anything, it should be the other way, right? We should be resisting the devil all week long, and then when we get in the presence of the Holy Spirit, we should be open. Here, God, I'm an open book. Have your way. Build your throne. Correct me. Change me. Transform me. Do whatever you want. Help me die to myself. Help me die to my flesh. But so much of the time, we're focused on ourselves. We're focused on what's going on inside. We're wrapped in our own selfishness. We can't see anybody else or anything else. And we end up resisting the Spirit of God. And we fall into the religious trap, the age-old religious trap. The one that assumes we've got it. I'm a Christian. I know God. I know his ways. I read the Bible. I want you to read your Bibles. But hopefully reading your Bible helps you have less resistance to the Holy Spirit. Because that's the real goal. These people that Stephen was preaching to had Bibles. They had it memorized. More than I do. They knew God's word inside and out, but they had ended up using the word of God to resist God himself. What a message. And the religious spirit got so mad at Stephen. It says they were furious. They gnashed their teeth at him. And Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, he looks up into heaven. He sees the glory of God and says, "Look, I see heaven open." He's got no resistance. He's got no resistance to the Spirit of God. He sees heaven open. That's what I want for our church. Is where we walk in, and when we gather together, there's just no resistance. and you stand together in God's presence, and it's like heaven just opens. And you see one like the Son of Man seated at the right hand of God. And you can't help but lift your hands. You can't help but fall on your face. You can't help but respond to the Spirit of God. That's what's supposed to happen. But religious ears, what they do, look at this, verse 57. But they covered their ears, and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. What a crazy reaction to people full of the Spirit of God, to a person full of the Spirit of God, one who's actually seeing heaven open. But sometimes that's our response, right? You hear someone start talking about open heavens, and you're like, you're a little crazy. I don't know if I want to be that kind of Christian. You're just always seeing things. You're just always being too spiritual. You're just like, wait, I thought we were, like, that's the goal of Christianity, to walk in step with the Spirit, to put to death the desires of our sinful nature, and to have heaven open over our lives. I thought that was the goal. I thought that was the point. So much of the time, we actually fall into the religious camp, judging other people, frustrated at other people, too religious to see that heaven's actually open. And I've been the one resisting. What if we could be a church? What if we could be a church that did this God's way? And we kept ourselves in step with the Spirit of God. What if what happened, instead of week to week where you forgot about last Sunday, you don't even remember what the message was, you don't remember anything about the worship, it feels so far in between. What if you walked in step with Him all week long? Sunday would feel like going from glory to glory. It'd build up real quick. You'd feel like you're just walking, like, where was the break? Where was the pause? You'd feel like this is normal. This is normal Christianity. I think that's how it's supposed to be. But friends, we've got our eyes focused on the wrong thing. We're trying to cast out the flesh when we're supposed to submit the flesh to the Spirit of God. That's what Scripture teaches. And we're supposed to let down that resistance. But we're so stubborn. We're so stubborn. We, just like Stephen said 2,000 years ago, we're so stubborn. Strong-headed. We know. I know how it's supposed to be. I know the right way. These guys were so sure they had it right, they killed someone. They got so angry, they killed someone. Because they were right about who God is. That's how absurd it gets. I'm just trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, where to go from here. As we move towards the close, I got to practice what I preach, right? I got to stay in step with the Spirit. I'm going to stand in front of you all, right? I got to stay in step. Because it's a church body. This is the model that Jesus set for us. This is the model that the disciples set for us. This is the model that Paul set for us. It's to stay in step with the Spirit. Crucify our flesh. The sinful desires that pop up. Remind yourself No, that's dead. That's not who I am anymore. And maybe on Sunday morning, you need, maybe this Sunday morning, maybe today, you need that prayer. Maybe you need help. Maybe you need encouragement. Maybe you need to learn to stop resisting the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need to learn and get some breakthrough of what it's like to be in step with the Spirit of God. What if hope came into your heart that you could actually do this? But not that you can actually do it because you can't do it in your flesh. It makes sense, right? You can't do this on your own, but you can do this if you let the Spirit of God help you. That's the way it's supposed to work. So when we talk about prayer, when we talk about responding to God and responding to this message, I have to ask, are you going to continue to resist? Or are you going to choose to walk in step with the Spirit? Are you battling something inside? Are you fighting and wrestling something inside? Even now as I'm talking, is there something that you're defending? Is there something you're arguing with me in your head? Well, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just trying to present the word. And I don't have to win. I just have to present the word. It's not my job to be up here and be right. It's my job to be up here in step with the Spirit. And Jesus walked in step with the Spirit straight to the cross. And he didn't defend himself. He didn't argue. The closest thing he got to admitting who he was to say, when asked if he was the Son of God, is, yes, it is as you say. Like, he didn't defend himself at all. But if you feel like you're sitting here defending yourself or defending something, you got to ask yourself, what is that resistance? Where is that coming from? Why am I fighting? Am I fighting the Word of God? Am I fighting my flesh? Is there something in my flesh that's rising up, that's battling, that's causing this stir? What kind of behavior am I defending? What kind of attitude am I defending? Or am I going to open myself up to the Word of God, open myself up and say, God, help me to let down my guard. Help me to stop resisting the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be stiff-necked. I don't want to have uncircumcised hearts and ears. I want to be open. I want to be ready for whatever you want to do, for whatever you want to say. I want to see heaven open. Some of you don't even think, like, you're sitting here and I'm telling you, you can see heaven open and you don't believe that it can happen for you. You think it's supposed to happen for maybe the pastor or maybe somebody else that's spiritual in the room, but I'm telling you, you can see heaven open. Just don't resist. Just don't resist. You can walk in step with the Spirit. Just submit. Just submit. Stop being so worried about the devil. He fled. If this is convicting at all, that means we all know how to resist. Now we just got to resist the right thing in the right order. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the Holy Spirit and he'll flee too. He's not going to try and shove his way in. He's not going to force it. It's crazy to think about. The Creator God of the universe. And you can just make him flee.
Would you stand with me? Jesus. Jesus. You know what? Let's all just, can we all just come forward, take a few minutes? Can everybody just come up here to the altar? Part of me wants to come and just like pray and lay hands on people and see God move. But what I'm sensing from the Lord today is that this is something for you to learn and grow in. You've got to learn to let those walls down. So I'm going to have them just turn up a song. Maybe we can find Spirit of God rushing in. That one we did it. We already sang it today once. And when we're singing, to let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, I want you to actually try and let Him do it. Let the Spirit of God come rushing in. And where it's not me coming and putting my hands on you and praying with you and saying the right words so that you can stop resisting. This is you practicing no more resistance. No more resistance. Where you lay that resistance down and you invite God in. You let the Spirit of God come rushing in again. Come rushing in again, overtaking everything, every part of who you are. And you get in step with the Spirit of God. You're not in step with Aaron Lage. You're not in step with the pastor because he prayed for you. He said the right words in your ear. You're in step because you opened up. You let him in. You let those resistance walls down to reconnect with your Creator again. And maybe you need to stand in His presence. Maybe you need to kneel in His presence. Maybe you need to, part of the physicality of it is just open yourself up, to lift up your hands, to raise up your eyes, whatever you need to do. But I want to ask you today to try to lay down that resistance. Right now, Jesus. Your presence makes me desperate for more. Right now, you can turn it up.
There's a longing deep inside, and I can feel it. Only you can satisfy, only you can feel it. Just a moment in your presence makes me desperate for more. I'm desperate for more. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, overwhelm my heart again. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in.
Jesus, come rushing in today. Come rushing in. God, we want to put down walls. We want to put down all our resistance. You can probably just start that song over. We want to put down all the walls. All the resistance to you moving in our lives. And could I have everybody just pray this after me and say, Jesus, my life is yours. Everything I have is yours. Help me to submit to you. No matter what. Help me to give up my way. So you can have your way. I take responsibility for the areas I've let my own desires take over. Today, I say no more. You get to have your way in every way, every step, in your mighty name. Amen. I don't feel like God's totally done yet, but the service can be concluded, I guess. If you need to go, you can go. But I do feel like at least some of you, there's more to just press into and just continue to yield. So if you need to go, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the Memorial Day and time with family. But I pray that you wouldn't forget this sermon, that you wouldn't forget these lines. And that you wouldn't fall into that religious trap of always resisting the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. Now it's time to put your faith into action by applying this word to your life. If you'd like help taking your next steps with Jesus, contact us at revivechicago.church.